God bless you. We've come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a part of it. Now let's do this. Let's stand together, find a smile, and put your hand out like this and attach it to somebody else's hand, okay?
Thank you. to die, Lord,
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Acts, chapter 14. And get your listening sheet ready, along with a pen or pencil, please. Talking about the year in review, we're starting to see that already on news broadcast as they look at 2018 and give us some updates and reports about the highlights of the year. Well, that's what we're going to do over the next few minutes as well. There was a man that was visiting Washington, D.C., and on his first day, he decided that he would just hire a taxi cab and ride around in that cab for a while just to get the lay of the land and to drive past some of the buildings and monuments and things so that he could orient himself to the layout of the D.C. area. And as he was traveling around the city in that taxi cab, they drove past the National Archives building. And the man said to the taxi driver, just slow down just a little bit. He said, look at what's written there in those great big letters on the front of the National Archives building. It says, the past is prologue. The past is prologue. He thought about that for a moment, and then he said to the taxi driver, he said, that's interesting. That's an interesting statement. He said, I'm not really sure exactly what that means, though. He said, you got any idea? The taxi driver thought for a moment, and he said, well, sir, I think it means you ain't seen nothing yet. That's probably a pretty accurate translation of that. The past is prologue. You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe that this story characterizes where we are at First Baptist Church. We ain't seen nothing yet. Let's say that together. We ain't seen nothing yet. I think that's probably pretty accurate. That would be my assessment of it, and I'll explain that to you, I think, over the next few minutes. Now, I want to show you this passage of Scripture, and I want to show it to you from three perspectives, and I've got them there on the listening sheet, so get ready to write these down. But at the same time, I want to commend you, and I want to applaud the Lord for His grace and blessings at First Baptist Church, Mountain Grove. Now, I'd like for us to be able to see how our church has been so blessed this past year. Let's read this scripture, Acts chapter 14. And let's begin with verse 19, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Beginning with verse 19. And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Oh, there's so much here that I want to share with you, and I'll just contain it. I'll try to contain it to just these three aspects this morning. So let me give you, number one is recommended to the grace of God. Recommended to the grace of God. Now, this chapter reports the completion of Paul's first missionary journey. So that's the context of what we have read this morning. Paul is just ending his very first missionary journey. And verse 19 picks up the story of Paul at Lystra. Now, God blessed Paul and Barnabas in being able to perform some miraculous ministry. Now, you need to go back to verse 8, and so we're not going to take the time to do that. But on your own, today or this week, go back and pick up the context of this story, beginning with verse 8, because Paul and Barnabas had just had some literally miraculous ministry there. And unfortunately, on the heels of God's special anointed ministry through Paul and Barnabas, there are some unbelievers that come in and encourage the people against Paul. Must have been a Baptist church they were working in. Hey, listen. As we end this year, and man, you just got two more days of it, and especially as we go into a new year, we need to guard against this thing. Well, the reality is, you need to guard against it all the time, because I want you to know, Satan doesn't like you. Is that news to some of you? Satan hates you. Satan wants to destroy you personally. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your children. And he wants to destroy your church. Satan doesn't like you. And there will be orchestrated times. I use the word orchestrated. There will be orchestrated times when the enemy will come against you individually and as a family and as a couple and as a church. There will be orchestrated times when the enemy will do his best to do you in. We need to guard against this. There will be unbelievers, and there will be those who may be believers, but they function in the flesh, and they will want to do you in. Now, verse 19 records the fact that they stoned Paul. Now, follow this, and when you read this and study it on your own, beginning with verse 8, which we didn't read this morning, but beginning with verse 8, when you read this and study it on your own, Paul and Barnabas had a miraculous anointing of God in ministry, and it was on the heels of this that people came to stone him and leave him as dead. There are going to be people who get up in arms, who oppose God's work, who want to stone the preacher. Been there. Who want to stone the preacher. Who want to create death where God wants to bring life. So I'm saying to you the fellowship at First Baptist Church, Mountain Grove, guard against this. Guard against it at the end of 2018, and guard against it as we go into a new year of 2019. So guard against that type of thing. This is sort of reflective of where you were at the beginning of 2018 this year. Now think back. There was disruption. There was turmoil. There was disunity. Now stop me if I'm not telling you the truth here. There was some disgust. There was division, sort of the way where we were at the beginning of this year. Now, by God's grace and the encouragement of the disciples, Paul and Barnabas were able to continue with this missionary journey. Now, let me just put a parenthesis in here as we look at just a few things. So let's pick it up, beginning with verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him. Now, who are they standing around? Paul. What's his condition? He's near dead. He's near dead. He had been stoned by some unbelievers who didn't like what he was doing. And let me tell you something else. As you get to letting God work through your life, and you're doing that, and through your church, and you're doing that, there are going to be some people in Mountain Grove that aren't going to like you. There's only one person, only one, that we need to please and satisfy in our life and ministry, and that is none other than Jesus the Christ. And there are going to be some people who aren't going to like you. So they're standing around Paul, verse 20. As the disciples stood around him, he rose up. Was it Mark Twain who said that the rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated? That's probably what Paul said when he stood up. The rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. Let's get on with God's work. And so verse 20, he rose up, he went into the city, and the next day then he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel, that's what you're about at First Baptist Church, preaching the gospel, and you do it from this pulpit, and you do it from your lips, and you do it in Sunday school class, and you do it in your witness, and you do it on your job, and you do it in your school. We're proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when they had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch. Look at verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples. That's another part of what your ministry is at First Baptist Church. Confirming the souls, making sure people know who they are and whose they are, making sure they know that they belong to Jesus Christ. I stopped on the way here this morning and filled up with gas, and I was talking to the man just on the other side of the pump. And he had just been in Branson, and they talked about going to Sampson. And I said, man, that he really brought down the house, didn't he? And then I said to the man, I said, did you like that show? And he said, oh, man, we loved it. That was probably the highlight of our visit. I said, are you a Christ follower? And then he leaned around the pump, and he said, I sure am. Well, that's part of what our business is, part of what our ministry is. Asking people, are you a Christ follower? Are you a Christ follower? Are you a Christ follower? I mean, that's part of what we need to do day by day, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's in church, asking people, are you a Christ follower? 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 I mean, that's part of what we need to be doing. Confirming the souls and teaching them and helping them to grow. We're in verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Exhorting them to continue in the faith. I was out this week with an individual that I've known now for a couple of years, and man, he's had a tough life, all his own doing, and he'll tell you that. Made wrong choices, but he became a Christ follower a couple of years ago. But he said to me, I know we've come to do some work here, but he said, could I talk to you a minute? I said, yeah, what is it? He said, well, man, I tell you what, he said, sometimes, even sitting in church, he says, I have doubts about this business of Christianity, and I have doubts about whether or not I'm going to make it. I have doubts about whether or not I'm going to be able to maintain a consistent walk with God. He said, man, I just feel like the slide is tipping the wrong way. I said, man, I appreciate you bringing that up. I said, because I have difficulty like that also. He said, what? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah. I said, that's why I've got to remember that when you try to balance life, the fulcrum is faith. The fulcrum is faith on this teeter-totter of life, my friend. And when you've got faith as the fulcrum, that's going to help determine which way this slide's going to lean. And if it goes that way, my friend, you may be slipping down the wrong path. So you want to make sure that the weight puts it where it needs to be, but the fulcrum is faith. And I said, so let me explain that to you, and let me talk to you about it. I said, because if you're not in the Word, and I said, I don't think you are. And he hung his head and he said, nah, not much. I said, well, you and I are going to do something this year. You and I are going to memorize Scripture. We're going to work together and we're going to memorize Scripture. Now, I would venture to say that there are a whole lot of us right here today that we don't do a whole lot of that. And I would venture to say that a whole lot of us right here today that we don't spend a whole lot of time in God's Word. Listen, the fulcrum of life is faith, my friend. That's the balance in the Christian life, faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing by the what? The Word of God. Hearing by the what? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to be in God's Word, and you've got to let God's Word get into you, because the fulcrum of life for the Christian is faith. That's what balances everything. And we've got to put the weight where it will, in fact, lean toward God. Lean toward God, lean toward righteousness, lean toward holiness, lean toward godly living, lean toward letting God be in control of our life. Now, that's what they did here in verse 22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation. Oh, man, I don't like that. I don't like that. But I read it right here. Everybody following me? Everybody with me? So it's going to happen. Just get ready for it. That's why we've got to be in the Word. That's why we've got to understand the fulcrum of our life is faith. Then verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church, had prayed with fasting. We did that not long ago. Some of you did. Some of you prayed with fasting, praying for the man of God. And we need to learn that. prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord from whom they believed. And then after that, they went to Pisidia and then Pamphylia and then on to Attalia and then finally back to Antioch. Listen, by God's grace and encouragement. And verse 26 says that the missionary team sailed to Antioch. Look at verse 26. From where they had been recommended. That's where this first missionary journey began. And so they went back to Antioch from where they had been what? Recommended. Say that word with me. Recommended. You see, the New Testament church as we know it today began in Jerusalem and then spread to other cities. Do you realize that there are at least 40 different cities that are named just in the book of Acts alone? Up until this time, Jerusalem had been the center of ministry and Peter had been the key apostle. But from this point on, Antioch in Syria would become the new center and Paul would be the new leader. The gospel was on the move until it eventually came to a small city in Missouri named Mountain Grove. The gospel was on the move. And let me tell you something. I'm convinced that God is using and has used and wants to use First Baptist Church to be a catalyst in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in monumental ways in the days ahead. You need to believe that with me, my friend. From Antioch, Paul and his missionary associates would carry the gospel throughout the then known world. And verse 26 says that it was there at Antioch that these men had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Do you see that there in verse 26? Everybody look at that with me. They went back to Antioch from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So let me ask you a couple of things. Who is it that has recommended you to the grace of God? Who is it that has recommended you to the grace of God? And what work is it that God has designed for you to fulfill? Those two questions. They're valid questions from this statement right here. They went back to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. So who is it? So think about these two things. Times haven't changed since that first missionary journey. Who is it that has recommended you to the grace of God? Who recommended you to the grace of God? Who is it that was influential in leading you to faith in Jesus Christ? Somebody want to tell me that? Just give me a name.
My mom.
Your mom. Wow. Good. Give me another name.
My best friend.
Wow. That's great. My best friend. Good. Pardon?
My neighbor.
Oh, good.
My grandma.
Wow. That's good.
My brother-in-law.
Oh, brother-in-law. Wow. That's great. That's great. And what work is it that God has you to fulfill? That's a valid question. You've been recommended to the grace of God, so you've received God's grace, you've received His forgiveness, you've received His mercies, you've received His love, you've become a follower of Jesus Christ. And so you were recommended to the grace of God for the work which God wants to fulfill in and through you. So the question is, what is that work? What work is it that God has designed for you to do. And are you doing it? When you came to know Jesus Christ, your Savior, it's because God had a purpose and has a purpose for you, and He's got a plan for you, and He's got a work for you to do. Listen, He did not just save your soul so that you can sit on the sofa.
Amen.
That's it. So that you can be a spiritual couch potato or keeper of the remote control. That's what God's called me to do. Really? I don't think so. No, you're not redeemed so you can recline. Someone asked me the other day, said, what are you going to do over the holidays? And I said, well, one of the things I hope to get done is to put a rear end in a recliner. And I've gotten to do a little bit of that. But you see, spiritually, God has not redeemed us so we can recline. He has not reconciled us to rest, and He has not regenerated us to rust. So what is the work that God has for you? All right, well, that's point number one, and I guarantee you we will be through by 2019, all right? Here's point number two, reunited with fellow believers. Reunited with fellow believers. Now look at verse 27, that when they had come back to Antioch, look what it says there. When they were come to Antioch, they gathered the church together. Say that phrase with me. They gathered the church together. That's a beautiful picture of a bonding love. That's a beautiful picture of a relationship in a church setting. So I want to encourage you that as we move into 2019, that you will make a new, fresh commitment of being in God's house and being in your place on a regular, faithful basis. Get ready to write these three things down. When you miss being in God's house, when you miss being in God's house with God's people, then you're going to affect yourself in these three ways. All right, here they are. First of all, you're missing corporate worship. You're missing corporate worship. Now that's important, not to miss corporate worship. It's valuable. And when you're not in God's house on a regular, faithful basis, you are missing corporate worship. Now, there's somebody sitting here right now. I mean, I just know people enough to know there's somebody sitting here thinking, look, I don't have to be in church to worship. I don't know how many times I've heard that over the years. You know, preacher, I don't have to be in church to worship. That's true. Matter of fact, I've had people that's stupid enough to tell me, I can worship out in the boat. Yeah, you can. They don't like my next question. Do you? Well, not as much as I should. I know, because you're busy catching fish, because that's what I do when I'm out in the boat. And let me tell you the rest of that story. I don't have to go home to be married. Everybody with me? But let me tell you something. If I don't go home much, it ain't much of a marriage. And that's the bottom line of what I'm saying right here. If you don't show up in church much, it ain't much of a relationship you got with God and with Jesus Christ. Everybody following all that? Here's number two. You're letting down on cooperative work. You're letting down on cooperative work. So when you're not in God's house with God's people, going in the same direction, studying the same scripture, learning from God, worshiping together, then not only are you missing out on corporate worship, but you're letting down on cooperative work. Because we're a family. We're in this thing together, this journey of life spiritually. You need what I have. And guess what? I need what you have. We need to cooperate together. We need to work together. You bring a piece to the puzzle that I don't have. You bring a gift to the body that I don't have. God's gifted me, but God's gifted you. And together we do cooperative work for the work of God's kingdom, for the edification of the saints, for the salvation of souls, and for the building up of the body of Christ and the expansion of God's kingdom. And so it's cooperative work. And here's number three. You are adversely affecting your consistent walk. You are adversely affecting your consistent walk. Your walk with Jesus Christ will not be as effective if you avoid being with God's people in God's house at God's time of worship, when we've set ourselves together to come together as a body, as a family, to worship the Lord. Everybody with me on all this stuff? Okay. You see, it's vitally important for you to be in God's house, in your place, with brothers and sisters in Christ. We miss receiving things ourselves, and the rest of the body misses what you can contribute and what you share corporately with the family. And let me tell you something. There are some members, there are some people here at First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove that they need to take this advice in this point and get reunited with fellow believers. It's not just enough to show up in Sunday school. It's not just enough to show up every now and then on Sunday mornings. It's not just enough to show up and say, well, you know, I work on Wednesday nights, so I do something else on Sunday mornings. No, it's vital that we come together and get reunited, just like Paul and Barnabas did after they had gone out to accomplish the work that God wanted them to do. All right, here's the final thing I want you to see this morning. Number one, recommended to the grace of God. Number two, reunited with fellow believers. And number three, rehearsed God's blessings. Rehearsed God's blessings. Now, the last part of verse 26 identifies the fact that the work which God had called them to do was, in fact, a work which they fulfilled. And then verse 27 says that when they had gathered the church together, look at this, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Wow. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. It's God's work. The work of First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove, it's God's work that God wants to fulfill through you. It's a godly work. It's a good work. It's a God-inspired and God-empowered work. And it is indeed the work that God has done. So, let me wrap this up, but I want to take just a moment, and I want to commend you and encourage you and applaud God for His blessings and the work which He has done through First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove in 2018. So let's have just a brief year-end review here. Just like they do on the news broadcast. So what about 2018 in the life of Mountain Grove First Baptist Church? Well, let me give you some highlights from my perspective. There's about 240 people here today. Now, if we had two worship services, which you've had before, and I'm not down on two worship services, don't misunderstand me. Most of my ministry, I've done two worship services. Now, it was out of necessity and not just out of convenience. There's a difference. So if we had two worship services, we would have had, 150 maybe in the first service, maybe 100 in the second service. 250. No, we'd had 150 and 100. Two different churches. You been there? Go like this. Yeah. And again, I'm not down on two services. But I am so proud of you. We've had a combined worship service. Now, some of you have to choke it out that you actually like it. But go ahead. Hack that hairball up. Yeah, it's okay. It is okay. It's good. It's good. This combined service has been good. It's been good for us. And you say, well, are we ever going to go back to two services? I don't know. Not next week. I know that far in advance. Not next week. Let's outgrow this one service. And then we'll figure out what to do at that point. But man, this combined service has been good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I said at the very beginning, it's going to require some sacrifice on everybody's part. And it has, and you've done okay. You've survived. And the reality is it's been good. It's been good in a combined service. And so thank you for that. And I want to applaud the praise team and the praise band and the choir. They have worked well together. Give them an applause. They have worked well. I tell you what Nancy Doty does with this choir up here is just great. And I love it. And it's exciting. And they do a great job. And I appreciate them showing up for rehearsals and getting prepared and presenting a praise time to the Lord and the praise time that we do and the more contemporary music or the different from the traditional music. Man, you guys do a phenomenal job, and you've got so much talent here from a musical standpoint. And listen. We've got preferences. I've got preferences. You've got preferences. All of God's Baptist children got preferences, let me tell you. And your preference may be not my preference, and my preference may not be your preference. But I learned a long time ago, if it's worshipful music, I can worship. Amen. And isn't that why we're here? To worship. When I walk in that door, I want to have my heart ready to worship. And I applaud you. We've had some good worship services this past year with combined like we've done. And so thank you for that. And we've had consistent worship attendance. Like I said, there's about 235 to 40 people here this morning. And that's about what we've done. Anywhere from about 225 to 260. You've been consistent, and I applaud you for that. And this past summer, we had a great vacation Bible school. And we had some kids saved at vacation Bible school. Give God praise again. Come on. I heard some of you say that we had one of the best VBSs that we've had in quite a few years. And so thank you for that. And I remember one Sunday the preacher was stupid enough to say, why don't you bring a rock with you? You remember that Sunday? You remember that? And then he suggested maybe it's a rock you want to throw at somebody. Well, it was. Come on, admit it. It was. And when you finally got into the message, you're thinking, I wish I'd brought a bigger rock. we didn't throw them at each other, did we? I think on that Sunday, everybody in this auditorium brought that rock and deliberately helped build an altar to the Lord of the rocks that we really were thinking about throwing at each other. And we laid them down and we helped build an altar. Remember that Sunday? And I want to applaud you for that. Thank you. Thank you for opening up your heart and your spirit and opening up your hand. I think that sermon was called the audible version of New Testament Christianity. And what is the audible version? It's when we drop the rocks that we're carrying around to throw at people. So I want to applaud you for that. And man, we had a good July 4th celebration. Jim said, man, we'll have several hundred people there. Man alive, we had several hundred people there. That was good stuff. That was good stuff. And I don't know if you discovered, you actually could go back and get more than one thing of yogurt from. Oh my. I don't know how many times I stood in line. That was a good day. And you remember those Sunday evening concert series that we had in the month of August? That was good, wasn't it? That was fun. Pretty laid back, pretty relaxed. Brought in a couple of guests and then used some of our own people and our kids. That was good. And man, the Jerusalem Changers and the association. Wow. Another great summer with our youth involved in making a change in our Jerusalem. Jim, thanks for leading that. And I know others helped you with that. And a lot of our kids, a lot of our young people were engaged and involved in that. And our strong children's ministry. I'll tell you what, I am so proud of Kathy Dickey, and she's got so many helpers. We need more, by the way. We need more because we've got a tremendous children's ministry. The Sunday school and Sunday evening and RAs and GAs and Wednesday evenings. We've got a great children's ministry here. And the next time you see Kathy Dickey, tell her thanks. Tell her thanks. You say, well, she's on the payroll. Yeah, and it probably works out to about $2 an hour. That lady puts in the time. Tell her thanks. And other people that are involved in children's ministry, tell them thanks. And we launched a new deacon care ministry this year. I love our deacons. You've got good men here. Good, solid deacons that love the Lord and serve the Lord faithfully here and serve you. And we launched this new deacon care ministry, and it's going good. And we took off the month of December, and in just a week, we're going to relaunch it into the new year. And I've told these men that by the time we're through with this, after a 12-month period, we will have been in the homes of 80. That's just the way the stats work out. We will have been into 80 homes in 1 year for personalized ministry. And you may say, well, you haven't gotten around to my home yet. Hang on. We're concentrating on specific needs. And these men are willing to minister to people. Let's applaud our deacons. Let's applaud our deacons. These are great men. And we had another successful Garment of Praise giveaway. Thank you for helping with that. Thank you for impacting your city with that. And we've had some baptisms throughout the year. Not as many as we should. Not nearly as many as we should, but we've baptized some people this past year as well. And we've had a good focus on missions, the Reuben South mission offering and the Lottie Moon offering. Thank you. Thank you for being engaged in worldwide missions. And we've raised money for new sanctuary windows. Wow, I'm excited about this. In about a month or less, we're going to have a funeral for these things. We're going to have new windows. And hey, let's go ahead and get these other windows that we need for our facilities. Let's get those. And we've recovered from a budget deficit. Do you know? And I don't know what. There's no way to know what today's offering is going to be, but if we have an offering today that's anywhere in the vicinity of $6,000, this will be one of the largest monthly offerings that we've had in 2.5 years. Amen. This month. We will reach $40,000 of giving this month alone in our general fund. And we've recovered, or we are recovering, from a budget deficit. Amen. That we came into at the beginning of the year. That means you've been generous. And how many of you are tithers? No. You have no idea how tempting that is for a pastor. You need to be tithing. And many of you do. All of you should. But you've been giving. And we've recovered from it. And folks, we're rebuilding love and unity within this church body. I see it. I sense it. And if you don't, come up and tell me, and I'll just give you a big old hug. And then give you some pastoral advice. Get over it. And get with it. God's doing good. Let's give God a hand. Several years ago, I took a group of middle schoolers, just a long time ago, from Fort Worth, Texas to Houston, Texas. Went to NASA, the space center there in Houston, Texas. And man, it was a fascinating trip seeing that huge campus and seeing all those buildings and seeing all that material and equipment. And the guide was giving us this tour of everything. Then we came to the space tower, and on top of the space tower was a space capsule, and below it were two or three stages of space rockets that propel that space capsule into space. And the tour guide was explaining things and pointing out some things, and he said, now after that capsule gets released from these power modules that propel it into space, he said, then it comes under direct control of the control center. And he made this simple, but it's a profound statement. And here's what he said. He said, now we only need to guide the space capsule after it has launched. He said, it doesn't need any guidance sitting on the launch pad. If you've been sitting on the launch pad, I'm going to be praying that God propels you into 2019. And we'll do our best to give you guidance after God launches you. But if you're just sitting on the launch pad, you need to have some fire built under you, my friend. So ask God to do it. Get propelled by the power of God to do the work that God intends you to fulfill. I'm excited about the next 2 months. Just the next 2 months. In 2 days, we're going to do on-location praying. That's going to impact you, and that's going to impact Mountain Grove. We're getting ready to launch something brand new called Impacting Mountain Grove. I'm excited to tell you about it, and that'll be unfolded in the next couple of weeks. It'll get launched in the month of February. Impacting Mountain Grove. You're going to have a committee workshop next month. You'll be hearing about that. If you're on a committee, it's the Baptist way, you know.
Yeah.
If you're on a committee, we're going to have a committee get together, a committee workshop. It's going to help you get formulated for the year. And within the next couple of weeks, we hope to be able to introduce you and to electing a pastor search committee. And some of you are sitting there thinking, finally my prayers have been answered. We're getting rid of this dude. All right. And I'm excited about that. And it won't be long till I'll be meeting with the Constitution and Bylaws Revision Committee. You've had one and haven't had much work done with it for quite some time. But I want you to know, right behind these ugly stained glass windows, you've got an ugly constitution and bylaws. It's pathetic. That's my humble opinion. And so we hope to work on that so that a new pastor doesn't have to come in and look at it and say, man, this is terrible. Men's Bible study series is picking up again. We've had good attendance with that. We need to double that attendance. We've had about 22 to 24 men. There ought to be 50 of you men, 50 of you men attending this Bible study series. The Deacon Care Ministry will pick up next week, as a matter of fact. And man, we're excited about that. And you've read in your bulletin this morning, we're rebuilding and revitalizing our disaster relief training for men. You got some good things ahead. Some good things ahead. You're going to have a new pastor? A new year? A new beginning. Well, that's the year in review. Let's give God applause again. Wow. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for the privilege to just be a little part of First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you've been doing, and thank you for what you're going to do. All for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray that you would help us to understand that we've been recommended to the grace of God for the work which needs to be fulfilled, all for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar to pray. Now, some of you have gotten lax about that. I'll just tell you that. We need to constantly be using the altar of God. It's user-friendly. And I'm going to ask you to come this morning. Thank God for 2018 and pray for 2019 for this to be the best year that this church has ever had. So I'm going to ask Christians to come to the altar and pray for that today. Now, if you need to stop and let me introduce you to Jesus or attach yourself to this church or follow Jesus in believers' baptism, then you come on and we'll pray with you and counsel with you about whatever personal decision. I'm going to ask people from the balcony to come, people from the back, people from all over, come to the altar. Thank God for 2018 and pray for God to give us the best year ever in 2019. Let's stand together. Come on.